Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. This is reading of God's word. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from all our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priests, to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We ask that you will bless the person who is preaching your word, that he may bring your word correctly. And we pray for all of us who are hearing of your word, as we hear your word, let our faith grow, and let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We started looking at the book of Revelation last Lord's Day. Before we look at the book of Revelation verse by verse, which we will do next Lord's Day, let us look at the general things once again today. The book of Revelation starts with this phrase, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the revelation from Jesus Christ about Jesus Christ. It reveals the reality that Jesus Christ, his heavenly kingdom, has been already accomplished and his kingdom has already begun. It reveals that our Lord Jesus Christ is already the King. He has sat down at the right hand of God as the King. And he is coming back. And when he does come back, the reality of his kingdom that is already accomplished even now will all be visible. It reveals the complete and perfect consummation of the redemptive history of our God. The book of Revelation is the summary and the conclusion of the whole Bible. In the book of Genesis, we saw the Garden of Eden, the paradise. But now in the book of Revelation, we see the true eternal paradise, the heaven. In the book of Exodus, we saw God's people coming out of Egypt. And in the book of Joshua, we saw them going into the promised land. But now in the book of Revelation, we see the true Exodus. God's people coming out of sin, coming out of this world, and delivered into the true promised land, the heaven. We also saw God's tabernacle and temple in the Old Testament, but now in the book of Revelation, we see the true temple, the eternal temple of God. In the books of 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we saw the earthly kingdom of God and its kings. But now in the book of Revelation, we see the heavenly kingdom of God and her true king, the eternal king, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the prophetical books of the Old Testament, we saw God's promise of restoration, and we saw the partial earthly restoration. But now in the book of Revelation, we see God's promises of restoration is completely and perfectly consummated in heaven. In the book of Revelation, the revelations and prophecies of God are complete and finished. All the prophecies of the prophets of the Old Testament are completely fulfilled and consummated. We see the consummation of all the redemptive works of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the perfect church, the glorious church. We see how the history of the world will end. We see the end. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord and God of all. All is in His hands. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. All is His story, thus history. And because of our union with Christ, all is our history in Jesus Christ. Now, if He is the one who was and who is and who will be forever, if He is the Almighty God, then you and I, we are able to be assured that His revelation, all of His prophecies, all that is revealed in this book, will come true. I do not like going into too deep about the literary structures of the book of the Bible. As you know, I don't think you heard me saying those things much. But let us briefly look at the literary structure of the book of Revelation. Here we are interested in just how the book is divided. And there are so many views on how the book should be divided, and I'm not going into that discussion. But just let you know that this is how we are going to divide the book. You know, I'm the one who's going to preach this, so I will divide this book like this, and that's how we're going to see it. There is the introduction and the conclusion. In the beginning, introduction, at the end, conclusion. And in between the introduction and the conclusion, there are seven sections. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, which we're looking at today and last week, and many more weeks to come. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, that is the introduction. And way at the back, chapter 22, verse 6 through 21. Verses 6 through 21, chapter 22, is the conclusion of the book. Now, like I told you before, in between this introduction and the conclusion, there are seven sections. First section, chapter 1, verse 9, through end of the chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 22. Chapter 1, verse 9, through chapter 3, verse 22. And we're going to name that section, the seven churches. Now, you know, this dividing this book is not some magical stuff here. When you read the book, it's pretty clear how it should be divided. So first section, seven churches. Second section, chapter 4 through chapter 7. Chapter 4 through chapter 7. And the name of that section, seven seals. Seven seals. Third section, chapter 8 through chapter 11. Name of that section, the seven trumpets. You get the idea how the book is being divided. The fourth section, chapter 12 through chapter 14. Here, we have little problem naming this section, so I named it the woman, the male child, the dragon, the two beasts, and the 144,000. That's the name. If you have a better name, you could just substitute that. It really doesn't matter how it's called. The woman, the male child, the dragon, the two beasts, and the 144,000. The fifth section, chapters 15 and 16, the name of that section is seven bowls. Seven bowls. Sixth chapter, section, chapter 17 through chapter 17 through chapter 21, verse 8. Chapter 21, verse 8. The title of that section is Last Judgment. Last Judgment. And the last section, seventh section, is chapter 21, verse 9 through chapter 22, verse 5. And name of that section, we're going to name it the Heaven. The Heaven. So there are seven sections. And these seven sections can be divided into two big groups. Sections 1 through 3 and sections 4 through 7. The second big section is stronger in degree in emphasis and description of the judgment of God and the description of the heavenly blessings of God. So as you read this book, you go at the end of the book, you will see the stronger in degree in emphasis and descriptions. Now, each of these seven sections deals with the same period of time. Now, if you came to the introduction to Book of Revelation last few Fridays, we saw this, right? We're not looking at this book sequentially because that is not how it is written. It's recapitulating. So each section deals with certain time period, but we're saying that all seven sections are dealing with the same time period. So he will deal this time period once, then he will come back and deal the same time period one more time with different emphasis, with different perspective, and he will come back and come back. He will do that seven times in this book. And the time between, the time period that each section is dealing with is the time period between the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his second coming. So each section will deal with a time period that is between the first coming of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. But, like I mentioned earlier, there is a progression. Everything becomes stronger as we look at these sections one by one. And you probably noticed this. There are seven sections, but each section is also divided into seven subsections, right? Seven bowls, seven trumpets, seven seals, seven churches. So obviously it is divided into those seven subsections. Each section will deal with the same period of time, but in a different perspective with a different emphasis. Each section deals with the time period between His first and second coming. Thus, each section deals with the time period that we might be able to call church age. So each section deals with time period His between first coming and the second coming, which is the church age. Thus, each section will deal with the time period that you and I are in. Because you and I, we live in the church age. These sections are His stories, but they are also our stories in Jesus Christ. You and I, we are included in these sections, as you will see. Thus, they are relevant to us because they are our stories in Jesus Christ. The book will show us our own reality that is true of us in Christ. It will show us the reality of God's church, which we belong to. So we do not have to force these things to make them relevant to us. They are already relevant to us. All of God's Word is relevant to us. There are people who think that Word of God is outdated. And preacher's job is somehow bring this outdated material so that it will be relevant to you who live in year 2008. That is wrong view of what the Bible is. The Bible is eternal Word of God. It never gets outdated. So, you will see how what you find in this book will be relevant to you. I don't have to force these things to make it relevant. As a preacher, that is never my purpose, to somehow bring this outdated material to make it relevant to you. No, it is already relevant. It's the eternal Word of God. And when you look at this book, you know, there are some people who read the Bible and they say, well, this is written 2,000 years ago and more. And they look at the society and they look at their lives and they say, well, Bible is outdated. But what they need to see is that Bible is the truth. If your life does not fit a description of a Christian in the Bible, then your life has to change, not the Bible. If Christian society or Christian church does not fit the description of Christian church in the Bible, then it is the church that has to change according to the Word. Not the Word. They want to change the Word. No, we need to change so that we will be just like what the Bible's description of what the church is and what the Christians are. Anyway, you know, I'm sorry about that. It's on the side. You know, I get excited about these things. As we study the book of Revelation, we will see that the new era has already begun. The end times that the Old Testament people waited for has arrived. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 and 9, this is what we read. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. He said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. But in Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, this is what we read. And he said to me, to John, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Do you see it? The new era has begun. The end of time has come. The end comes, but it comes in two stages. It comes spiritually with the first coming of Jesus Christ, and it will come visibly with his second coming. But it already came. Yes, only spiritually, that's the language that we use. But it is the reality. It is already begun. But when he comes back, it will be visible. It will be completely consummated. Yes, in the Old Testament, seal up until the end. But now in the book of Revelation, do not seal up, for the time is near. The time has come. The book of Revelation will show us that the things that we are able to see with our physical eyes are not the only reality. There's so many people who goes to church. They live as if this world is everything. But the book of Revelation will show you very clearly that there is another world. There is another reality. There is reality that is not visible at the moment. But that reality is more real, more true, because it is eternal. Nobody will deny that this building's reality. Right? You could touch this building, and nobody will deny the reality of this building at this moment. But when you come back here 500 years later, you may not see this building. So the physical reality that you see with your physical eyes right now is not eternal. But the spiritual reality, the heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished is eternal, and that will never change. That is why that reality that is not seen is more real and more true, because it is forever reality. God warns us about living your life in focus of things that are seen only. I pray to God, brothers and sisters, that the Monday morning when you wake up, that you will start your life with the realization of that other reality. Do not live your life as if what you see is everything. that that is your ultimate purpose. Second Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18 says, While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The focus of the book of Revelation is on that eternal world. It is on the day that eternal world will be visible. It is on the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must live our lives here on earth in terms of that reality. Thus, the book gives many encouragements to Christians who are suffering, who are being persecuted, who are going through difficult times for their faith in Jesus Christ right now. Let me make it very clear. When we say forsake this world and focus your eyes upon the other world, we're not saying that your life here on earth is not important. It is very important. But you must live that important life in terms of the eternal reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. Otherwise, your life will be a waste of time. You might not feel like that right now, but there's a time when Jesus will return. And then you will realize how you wasted your life. What matters at the end is how much you love Christ. Not your earthly success. Those things will not even be remembered. But we do everything for God's glory. That's the life that we are called to live. That's why this book is written, so that you may live your life in terms of that heavenly reality that Christ has accomplished for you. The book of Revelation requires the Christian to live a life that is according to the eternal reality that the book shows. It requires us to live the heavenly life here on earth. Your eternal life has already begun. And that is the life that you live every single day. Resurrected life. And you must always remember that. Live our lives according to what is true of us in heaven. If we are truly God's children, if we are truly the citizens of heaven, then we must witness that reality. The book of Revelation requires us to fight with Satan and sin. It requires us to fight with sin. And our Lord rebukes His church when she fails to do so. Through the book, you will hear Jesus rebuking His church. He says, I have this against you. Chapter 2, verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. As you listen to His rebuke, examine to see if He is rebuking you. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some who in the same way hold the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, but I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Chapter 3, verse 15 through 19. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and I salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. How sad it would be if these rebukes of our Lord Jesus Christ is rebuked for Christ and Heaven OPC. There will be persecutions and sufferings for you and for me who want to live a godly life, the heavenly life here on earth. Christian life, brothers and sisters, as you know, it is very hard. If we want to live a true Christian life here on earth, it is very, very hard. Anybody who says otherwise never lived it. But remember what God says. Romans chapter 8, verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. At the end of every seven letters in chapters 2 and 2 and 3, we read, to him who overcomes, I will give. Chapter 21, verse 7 says, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This book encourages all of us. The question is, how can we overcome? Because to him who overcomes, God says, I will give all these spiritual blessings, and he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Then how can we overcome? Let us go to chapter 12 of Revelation. Chapter 12. Verse 11. And they overcame him, Satan. They overcame Satan because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. True Christians overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they do not love their lives even when they faced with death. They are willing to die. We overcome with the blood of Christ and His word. There's no other way, brothers and sisters. You must trust Jesus Christ, and it is through His word you overcome. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And what is it? Our faith. We must live a life that clearly demonstrates that we are indeed God's sons in Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation requires it. You cannot claim to be Christian and you don't care what God says in His book. You cannot claim to be a Christian when your life clearly shows that you do not care what God has commanded to you. If we believe that faith will bear fruits. Remember what James said. Faith without works is dead. This is real rebuke from God Himself. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to say that you're not Christians. No. And I'm not even trying to say that you're saved by your works. No. But as we claim to be His church, we cannot just live our lives as if what God says to us doesn't matter to us. That our eternal salvation, that our eternal life, that heaven just don't matter to us. We cannot live like that. Because we are living this life to witness Christ, to witness the salvation that He has accomplished. You are saying to the whole world, if you receive this salvation, this is how that person looks like. And you show that with your life. That is your purpose in this life. Any other purpose is secondary. You show to the world what the salvation that our Lord has accomplished can do for you. Mark chapter 8, verse 34b, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But remember, you already have the victory in Jesus Christ. Through His blood and His word, we do overcome the world. Through the faith in Jesus Christ, we overcome the world. Witness that victory in our lives, in our church. They did not love their life even when faced with death. We are witnesses Do you know what witnesses in the book of Revelation, the actual word is martyr. And you know what martyrs are? That's the witnesses. Man, we have so wrong view on who, you know. When we hear the word witnesses, you think of these people standing in front of supermarket and bothering these people to believe Christ. That is not what Bible says witnessing is. Martyrs. And we are able to do this in Jesus Christ. Through His Word. And you must see the victorious Lord. Through His Word, we see Him who is victorious. Through His Word, we see His kingdom. We see our eternal reality in Him. And you must believe. That faith. With that faith, you will overcome. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The book of Revelation will enable us to think and speak and act according to our heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. And this is your heavenly reality. Chapter 3, verse 21. He who overcomes, and you are the ones who will overcome, because you were given faith. You were given the Word of God. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see this. With your physical eyes, you see how you are sitting on those chairs in this room. But that is not the only reality. Actually, that reality will soon be gone. Where else are you seated at? In the heavenly places with Jesus Christ, you are sitting at His throne and you reign as the kings of God together with the true King, our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, go out and witness that reality with your lives. Show who you are to the whole world. Live as the kings of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace upon us, how you have made us your sons. And we do reign with our Lord Jesus Christ now and forever. Let us see our heavenly reality through your word. And see and understand and believe who we are in Jesus Christ. And let us live our lives in witnessing that reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Continue to bless Christ and Heaven OPC. As your sons, together let us see the glorious sight of who we are in Jesus Christ, the glorious sight of our Lord, the victorious King. and let us live our lives in terms of that reality. Let us live as who we truly are in Jesus Christ. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.